بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, so continuing in our reading through the book Usul al-Sunnah of the noble Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal رحمه الله تعالى, who died in the year 241 after the Hijrah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We've had a few weeks, a gap or a few weeks break. So just as a reminder, ya ikhwan, what Imam Ahmad رحمه الله goes through in this book which we're studying. In summary, from the affairs which Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stresses upon is sticking to the way of the companions. And ya ikhwan, of dear brothers and sisters who are listening by way of this broadcast on Al-Nahj Radio on the second channel, and those who are present in the masjid today, Masjid Al-Farisi in Kuwait, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioning sticking to the companions as the sabilun najat, or that is the path to success. Sticking to the companions in your understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. And as our mashaykh, like Sheikh Ahmed al-Subay and Sheikh Muhammad al-Anjari, hafidhahum Allah ta'ala, have clarified that if one wants to take as examples in following his religion, then he takes as examples the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and other than them from the Ashratul Mubashireen, from the 10 who were promised paradise, and the rest of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he looks at them to see how they applied religion. If he wants to be a student of knowledge, a talibul ilm, then he is a talibul ilm the way Abu Bakr and Umar were. If he wants to see in the way he wants to spend his money, then he spends his money the way Abu Bakr and Umar did. If he wants to see the way he worked hard, then he works hard the way Abu Bakr and Umar were. If he wants to see how they understood the matters of unseen, the umur al-ghaybiyat, from the affairs of aqeedah, then he applies and he acts upon the religion the way Abu Bakr and Umar were. حَيْثُ قَالَ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, where you find the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, take firmly after me, اقتدوا من لديني من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر, that take after me from whom? From Abu Bakr and Umar. Likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Alaykum bi sunnati," for you is to follow my sunnah. وَالسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَحْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, and the rightly guided khulafa after me. Who are the rightly guided khulafa, ikhwan? They are the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he starts off and he mentions in the introduction, "وصول السنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم." Him clearly mentioning something which is furqani, something which distinguishes truth from falsehood. Why does it distinguish truth from falsehood? Because Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he could have said usul as-sunnati indana at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi lughat al-arabiyya, or at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi quran wal hadith, or ashya ukhra, all of those other things. But he didn't say that. He wanted to establish furqan, to distinguish in that time that he lived in. And if you find in my lessons, I try and repeat the year that Imam Ahmad passed away, 241 after the Hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this are benefits. What are the benefits, if you ask me? To know that how early Imam Ahmad died, rahimahullah, and he still stressed upon a point which is needed in our time, to stick to the way of the companions. You find a lot of differences and a lot of deviation. A lot of people saying, follow this way of the religion and follow the way this imam said or that imam said. You never find them taking you back to the way of the companions. And I mean never find is the Jama'at al-Islamiyya, the Islamic political groups and parties. For them, their goals are different. The goal of the Sunni, the Salafi, is to actualize worship, is to actualize his ibadah in this life. How does he reach that he actualizes ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he seeks Allah's pleasure only. He seeks Allah's pleasure only. Likewise, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, from that which we've discussed, is the dangers of bid'ah. And I mentioned this as summary, brothers. The dangers of bid'ah. حَيْثُ قَالَ Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, أُصُولَ السُنَّةِ عِنْدَنَا التَّمَسُّكُ بِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةِ. That you take them as role models to be followed, who the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you abandon all of innovation. Abandon all of innovation. Innovation, abandon it. There is no success in being upon anything innovated in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, success lies in the following of the companions and abandoning innovation. Because innovation is something, it takes over the body of an individual. Like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تَتَجَارَ بِهِمُ الْأَحْوَاءُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in a hadith which is authentic, collected by Ibn Abi Shayba in his sunnah and authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, that the innovation runs through the veins of the body the way rabies, when an individual is bit by a dog, the disease, the rabies runs through the body. That's how innovation runs. تَتَجَارَ بِهُمُ الْأَحْوَاءُ. His body is full of innovation. Because when he takes it lightly upon himself, and he thinks he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way which has no textual proof, and the companions didn't do it, this person is on a path which is lost. As was the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he drew with his noble finger, he drew a straight line. And he said, هذا صراط الله, this is the path of Allah, the straight path, one path. And then he drew lines to his right and to his left. And he said, these are subul, these are other paths. And at the head of it is the shaitan calling to it. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or that's what the Prophet said. That there is a straight path and there are other paths. The other paths do not lead you to Jannah. The shaitan is at the head of it. And if you find that they, as the scholars explain, the paths are all connected from the straight path. So it's something which resembles the sunnah. So be strict with the sunnah and be patient with it. Try and make sure that what you are upon is authentic. Look at the service that Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah did, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he authenticated the hadith from that which were fabricated and from that which were weak. And he took out the narrations which were not authentic. Why? So that you can be upon something authentic. Don't be upon just statements which people like Jamaat al-Tabligh, where they make it easy. Oh, the Prophet said this and the Prophet said that. If you look at the affair, it was never the case. The Prophet was far away from these type of statements. People innovated into the religion, that which was not from it. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that a person does in this religion which is not from it, it is rejected. It is what, your brother? It is rejected. It's not something accepted. So be it something small, and you find Imam Ahmad stressing upon it, the dangers of bid'ah and the dangers of those things which might lead you to bid'ah. Like argumentation about religion, like sitting with the people of bid'ah, like arguing and debating about religion. Why does Imam Ahmad repeat about these? He repeats them because these are those things which might lead you to bid'ah. If you open your ears to a person who's speaking about bid'ah and you argue with him, you never know, because the heart is weak. The heart of an individual is something which is weak. You never know when that doubt might come inside you and the shaitan plays with you and he mixes truth from falsehood. He disguises it and he mixes it in you. And as I said, the heart is weak. He soaks up. He's emotional. The human heart is emotional. And he gets emotional about religion and he thinks he wants to serve religion. To the extent, as you find Ahlul Bidah, what they've reached in our times that we live in, which we see ourselves, waqih. Look what's happening with Daesh. Look what's happening with this thing, so-called Islamic State. They're killing the Muslims, spilling the blood, criminals. Look at those people upon that ideology where they believe that they can do that which the rulers are not doing. This is a belief, a Daeshi belief, a belief which is a belief of the Khawarij. Which, what do they believe? They believe if the ruler doesn't do something, that we take it in our hands to do it. That's not the case. When you are under your ruler, you obey, listen and obey to that ruler, as long as he doesn't order you with something which is haram, as is known. You listen and obey to that ruler, and you do what is responsible from your side. Don't do thinking that the ruler is not doing it, so I will do it. That's what the Khawarij do. Look what it led them to. It led them to killing the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It led them to doing stuff which the rulers did not do, where they thought that they will do it, so that they started revolting against the rulers, thinking that no, now they've reached a point where they think that we are doing what the rulers are not supposed to do. What's the use of this ruler? Let's take him out and we'll be the ruler. This is where the fitna leads to. Bid'ah, innovation in the religion. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stressing on the point, وَتَرْقُ الْبِدْعَةِ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ فَهِيَ دَلَالَةٍ. This is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is collected by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, with this wording, that every innovation is misguidance and every misguidance is in the hellfire. Every misguidance is falsehood, is misguidance. Likewise, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stressing, and which we've covered so far, is the belief of Ahl Sunnah in the matters of Al-Qadr. Belief of Ahl Sunnah in the matters of the pre-decree, that everything was pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was a bid'ah which started, which was amongst the first innovations, amongst the first, after the death of the companions or towards the end of the life of the companions, where people denied complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before an action took place. And this is how they started. And they started speaking about religion without knowledge, the people. This was the appearance of the Qadariyah, those who denied the Qadr of Allah. So the A'imma in that time, they took it and they stressed upon this point so that the people may be upon that which is correct. Al-Imanu bil-Qadr khayri wa shakri. That everything is from the pre-decree of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. And we've covered this in our previous lessons. And the Arba Maratib al-Qadr, and how a person is patient with that which is decreed, either if it's from good or from evil, and especially when it's from something difficulty, from the masaib, that he is tested. That's when the real test is to know na'am hadha min qadarillah. And likewise, try and understand qadr upon your own selves first and foremost. Ask yourself these questions: why am I this skin color, and why was I born in this time, and why are my parents this, and why are my brothers this, and why are my children this? You have no choice in what all of this are. So you know that you're nothing but a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala capable of everything. And rather upon us is to submit to the text, submit to the proof, and be patient. And likewise, qadr mabni'un ala al-hikmah. That qadr is based upon what? Based upon wisdom. Allah's complete wisdom. So a person doesn't question why and how, rather he's patient with it. Because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his complete wisdom, has created everything the way he wished subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hikmah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Shaykh Khalid Abdul Rahman mentioned, even though the matters of the unseen are something unseen to you, it doesn't mean they're unseen to Allah. Allah has complete knowledge of everything. So just because they're unseen to you, it doesn't mean they're unseen to Allah. Rather, Allah, everything is known. So what does this show? This shows that this is based upon hikmah, hikmatillah. So a person has to be patient. And a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing you the benefits of being patient, showing you the benefits and the reward of being patient, is the hadith collected by Abi Yahya Suhayb ibn Sinan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ajaban li amri al-mu'min. How amazing is the affair of the mu'min. How amazing is the affair of who? The mu'min, the believer. أَنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That is affair for him, all of it is good. Of course, you find a lot of people, they only use this part of the hadith. And they come and say, the affair of the mu'min, all of it is good, all of it is good. No, the hadith has a completion to it, which is authentic. And this is where the benefit lies in it. And this is the detailed benefit that it is. And one should know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam جَاءَ بِالْمُفَصَّلِ. He came with detailed explanation. الدِّينُ الْمُفَصَّلِ. The religion is a detailed explanation, not mujmalat, not generalities, and not affairs which we always speak about, in which everybody is in agreement about. If that was the case, you wouldn't find me teaching Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. If I want you to just speak about generalities, we'd take up a book in which we spoke about all the Muslims pray and all the Muslims fast, and everybody would be happy and we'd leave away walillahi alhamd. The purpose, my purpose and the purpose of the Sunni is not the happiness and the pleasure of everybody who's sitting here. That's not my purpose. The purpose is to establish Furqan, to give you that which distinguishes truth from falsehood, so you may be upon that which is correct and abandon falsehood. You may be upon Sunnah and you may leave off Bid'ah. You may be upon Tawheed and you may leave off Shirk. You may be upon Ta'ah, you may be upon worship and leave off disobedience. You may be upon that which is good deeds and you may leave off bad deeds. You may be upon obedience and you will leave off sins. This was the purpose. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ajaban, that how amazing is the affair of the mu'min. That his affair is, all of it is good. Shay mumtaz. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, laysa dhalika li ahadin illa li mu'min. First condition. This is not for anybody except for who? For the mu'min. Sahibul iman. Who is sahibul iman? Sahibul aqidah sahiha. This is not for anybody except the mu'min. Not for everybody. No, for the person who is a person of iman, who has aqidah, who believes in the matters of the unseen. يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ.
نعم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن أصابته سراء شكرا شكر فكان خير له. If he is blessed with something or if he is given something good, he is thankful, then it's good for him. Not the affair is always everything good for him. He gets something good and he's like nafsajah, he's adi. He gets good or doesn't, he doesn't praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not thankful to Allah. He doesn't say shakar Allah. La, the one is good for him when he's thankful. He gets something good, he said alhamdulillah, nashkur Allah. Kana khayrun lahu. As with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention, وَإِنَ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءً صَبَرًا فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. And if he's tested with something from difficulty and he's patient with the difficulty, then it's good for him. وَهَذَا إِخْوَانِ فَكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. No doubt everything is from the pre-decree of Allah. Muslim will be tested. He will be given good and he will be tested also. He will be tested with difficulties. When he's given something good, he's thankful. Affair is good for him, inshallah. When he's tested with something, he's patient. He's patient. He's not neglectful at that time. And you find him only sticking to the sunnah in times of goodness. In times of difficulty, you find him far away from the sunnah. وَلْيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. وَهَذَا إِخْوَانِ فَهَذَا السُنَّةِ. Be patient upon the sunnah in every time. And this was the point that I wanted to stress on in my lesson today. That be patient upon the sunnah, إِخْوَانِ. You will be tested. All of us will be tested. We'll be tested in good times. We'll be tested in times of difficulty. And this is the dunya that we live in. This is the dunya that we live in. This is the life that we live in. The hadith which I mentioned is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And if the brothers want for reference again, the hadith narrated by the noble companion Abi Yahya Suhaib ibn Sinan. Abi Yahya Suhaib ibn Sinan. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Ikhwan, will continue next week with our lesson with our brother Adam حفظه الله, and that will be explanation of Salat al-Usul in the same place, Masjid al-Farisi, after Salat al-Jumma, after the Jumma of our brother and our Sheikh Ali Salim حفظه الله, which is also broadcast on the Ida'at al-Nahj al-Wadih al-Ula on the first channel. And we have this English lesson on the second channel. And likewise, we'll have the announcements on Twitter about the rest of the durus, which are to begin with the mashayikh in Kuwait. And other than them, from the mashayikh like our Sheikh Abul Abbas and Sheikh Ahmed Bazmul, and likewise Sheikh Khalid Abdul Rahman from Egypt, will be announced in due course. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.